you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today on Quicksand's podcast, we put our heads down and start shoveling through the information. Tom Brady's new contract, whether or not Tom Brady likes his new contract. The Patriots preseason opener against the Washington Redskins and their next game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Wide receiver depth, is it deep at all? Who's on the bubble? Who's off the bubble? Phil Perry joins me today on
Quicksand's podcast.
Also brought Wade Down, and I'm not going to spend a whole hell of a lot of time on this, but it deserves some
conversation. You do whatever you want.
Fair enough.
It's your podcast.
Tom Brady's contract was bumped last week, and it was a meager bump, and it's an incentive-laden bump, and it's not the type of thing that Tom Brady is looking for, nor his agent Don Yee. And Don Yee went on record. I wrote a story about this today on NBCSportsBoston.com. In April, Don Yee went on the record to clear the air, basically, and a statement to Adam Schefter said, look, I understand the concern about Tom, but he hasn't changed. He wants to play until he's 45, and he's going to be back this year. And as Brady has stated time and time again and stated again on Tuesday, he wants to play here in New England. The reason he had to step out and make that comment was because of kind of the wavering commitment we saw from February through April. I, however, think that that wavering commitment was probably because of sometimes the Patriots' wavering commitment to him. So what ends up happening is Brady gets this incentive contract here in August that really is just window dressing. It's a Band-Aid on a bigger wound. It does nothing to fix the situation. But Brady, because it's the regular season and he's had enough of the drama and he's had enough of the consternation, he's going to high road it, and that's what he's done. But I want to put this in focus a little bit today to talk about whether or not the Patriots have are commitment phobic when it comes to Tom Brady, and should they be?
I think they've shown with this bump, with this adjustment, that they are. Typically, what they've done with Tom Brady, 2 years out from whenever he's set to become a free agent, they give him an extension, they give him a big old signing bonus with a whole lot of cash, and they give him a couple, you know, it's a couple more years, generally. This time, we're 2 years out. He gets an adjustment to the first year, nothing to the second year, and no years on the back end. That, to me, is a pretty obvious statement on their part. We've said it before on this podcast. We'll say it again. Contracts oftentimes tell the story about how any team feels about any player. And so this, to me, is a relatively clear, Tom, we're happy to have you now, but we're not sure what the future holds, and so we're going to just take this thing year to year, even if you want to be here till you're 45.
And here's where I concluded in the column, both sides have a leg to stand on in saying, look, we're justified in doing this. I think the Brady's is much stronger in feeling as if he should be paid more, but the Patriots can say, look, he had wavering commitment that we saw at the end of last season. It was a contentious 2017. Your family's pulling on you a bit. Your kids are growing up. You don't know what you're going to feel like at the end of this season. So we're not going to commit. My contention, if I'm Tom Brady, is, look, you know what? You're getting me for pennies on the dollar right now. I'm not looking to break the bank. I'm not looking to be paid more than Jimmy Garoppolo, although I could easily argue that I ought to be paid more than Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins combined and have it all guaranteed. But this is insane to be paid $15 million and then just get, you know, this slung in front of me. To me, Brady is doing what he's always done, which is kind of the right thing, by putting it out of his mind. It rankles. It's an irritation. It bothered him. But now that it's not forthcoming, it seems as if he's going to just be about football.
Can we hit on the point of just the money aspect of it? And Tom Brady and his need to feel appreciated. And you hit on just the respect factor. You mentioned, you know, he could be making what Jimmy and Kirk Cousins are making combined, and that would be worthwhile to many football teams. I think there are a lot of people. The reason I say can we hit on this, Tom, is because I think there are a lot of fans that I've heard from who say, well, Tom doesn't need the money. It's an extra $5 million bucks, even if it's not guaranteed. Who cares? He's doing great. The wife makes this. He's making this on the side. Football doesn't matter. You know, like it's almost like money is just this ephemeral thing that is just, you know, air to Brady, that he just really, there's so much of it that it doesn't matter whether or not he gets $5 million in incentives or $10 million guaranteed. It's whatever, Tim. And I just don't think that's the case. I don't think that's realistic for Patriots fans to feel that
and
way.
I think that because he's built up an expectation as being the unicorn in so many different ways off the field as well as on, Tom Brady doesn't care about the money. Tom Brady's about the team. Tom Brady will work extra. Tom Brady will be there. And it's that expectation that I believe he feels it as if it got taken advantage of. He got taken for granted. And that's why when you saw Tom versus Time, and Gautam Chopra includes the comment from Giselle that says, you know, he wants to feel appreciated. He wants to go to work and have fun. Fun and appreciation are at the root of the problem last year. And appreciation is at the root of this money conversation. And I'll guarantee you, the 33-year-old Tom Brady in 2004, 2005, didn't have a body coach and a business partner in Alex Guerrero. He didn't have a wife in Giselle. His family, immediate family, and those around him were probably still happy to be here. Now, however, I think that you have a coterie of people around Tom who could say, hey, do you know you're getting hosed? Do you know they're taking advantage of you? Do you know you leave at 5 in the morning and then come home at 8 o'clock at night, sit down and watch that laptop and kind of aren't really present for the kids during that period of time because of all this? And it's provided us with a beautiful house. But remember, they're hosing you. And I think those things have made maybe the light go on for him a little bit, to the point where, $5 million on paper doesn't matter. But what you said, it's not ephemeral. It is somehow it is a way in which you use to measure, do they really give a shit?
And to take it one step farther, you're not just missing out on family time. What you're doing between 5 and 8, at least for a couple hours, at least on Sundays, is relatively harmful to your long-term health. And so the fact that you're making the same amount as Blake Bortles if you hit your incentives while putting yourself at risk when you could be doing a million other things and be getting paid very handsomely as a retired football player and be a spokesperson for any number of hundreds of different companies, you're choosing to do this. So to use your example, you know, if you're the family or anybody in that coterie of people that are around him, you can say, Tom, you know, we could be in we could be in Monaco. We could be in Paris. We could be doing speaking engagements here. We could be doing TB12 stuff there. And we could be raising a good amount of cash. And the greatest risk to your health might be slipping off the boat and spraining your ankle. And you'd be making twice as much as what you're making playing football. And he has to come back to them and say, but this is what I want to do. I love to do it. I want to be...
Well, then they say, well, if you love to do it, how come you come home so upset?
Why are you doing it for that guy? Why are you doing it for that team where you're stressed out all the time and you want to try to be this positive person and things are weighing you down? They're great questions coming from those people, and they're hard answers for him to have to come up with.
But it does seem like he's come to an uneasy truce with them. So I think that becomes the next stage of this conversation is, should we continue to, as a media member or as media people, ask these questions and fixate on them if Tom says, no, I'm fine, I'm okay? I think there is a responsibility. I've said this throughout the offseason. Look, if I have information that indicates to me what the tenor of this historic franchise is behind the scenes, what the direction of it is, the way that emotions are playing, the way that things are being decided and the reactions to them that are going to impact the future of it, we got to report on it, no matter the fact that people are like, enough, I'm tired of it, tell me about the bubble boys. And so that's
talk more
one
about
of the
Christian
weird dynamics.
Sam and Braxton Berrios.
Right.
And listen, I get that too, and I love talking about that stuff. You hear me blab about it all the time on TV, write about it everywhere. But this is the most important player on one of the most important franchises in North American sports
history.
And it's the end of his career at some point.
I mean, it's like saying,
these are
why
questions.
Is everybody so fixated on Ruth? Christ, tell us about, you know, who else played with Ruth? No, other than Garrick?
Well, yeah, Garrick.
I mean, Whitey Ford looks great. He's coming up. This Mantle kid. Why don't we hear about them? Everybody's fixated on Ruth. Jesus Christ. Newspapers. They're never going to last. Anyway, so we got to do it. It's George Herman. We're already covering George Herman.
It does seem as though everybody's kind of come to an uneasy truth here, both Brady and his inner circle, Brady and the team. And so I think we're kind of moving forward with the state of things as they are, looking like they're going to stay that way for a while now. The contract can't be adjusted, basically, for another year.
Can't be adjusted for another year. How about this? And I think other people have mentioned it, but aside from that, if you were the Patriots, mm-hmm. and if you were Tom Brady, mm-hmm. would you say, look, Tom, we're going to franchise you after 2019. So it's basically a guaranteed, Tom was 24 this year, you know, probably 28 in 2020, maybe 30.
But I think it has to be at least 120% of his...
The second time around.
The second time around? Okay.
First franchise is the top five.
Okay.
Unless... Yeah, he wouldn't be in the top... He wouldn't be in the top
five. Top five or 120%? Because I think if you are in the top five...
But he's not in the top
five. But he's not. Okay. So
he'd get franchised at about 30.
Yeah, probably be close to 30 at that point.
And then, Tom, if you want to play another year, we'd love to have you. We're going to franchise you again at 33. Yeesh. Easier than giving him 60.
36, something like that.
Yeah, but it's easier to play it out. What if they end up with another Danny Etling next year? You know, what if Teddy Bridgewater comes in here and doesn't play well? I think
they got to take seven quarterbacks before they just roll with another Danny. Like, just use all your draft picks on quarterbacks.
I'm really believing that Teddy Bridgewater is... He's
on the Jets.
Yeah, but he's not...
Doesn't that seem like an impediment to you?
No.
Why not?
Because Sam Darnold's going to win that job, and Teddy Bridgewater's going to say,
they're not going to cut him. You got to trade. You got to make a trade there.
I've loved Teddy Bridgewater.
I know you really have. This has been a fixation for you. But I just don't see the Jets making a trade with the Patriots to give them a quarterback for once Tom Brady's
gone. What if Teddy Bridgewater demands his release?
Good again.
Like Jimmy Garoppolo didn't want to be a bridge quarterback.
They would just trade him because I don't think he has a no trade clause in his contract.
Listen, but he only signed for a year.
I don't think Teddy's going where he... I don't know the contract details, but that sounds... That actually sounds right. I think he might only be on for a year. So maybe it's
Teddy
not maybe it's not a trade this year, but maybe it's a free agent next year.
Okay.
Although whoever he ends up with, if he's good, they're not letting him go to free agency.
He's not going...
Quarterbacks that are any good don't get to free agency unless they're Kirk Cousins because they played for a team that didn't know what it was doing in terms of the franchise tag and all that stuff, and they gave him too much money that they had to let him go.
That was an aside, folks. All right, enough of the quarterback talk.
Okay,
Patriots on Tuesday had what is appearing to be a graze of a bullet in terms of, all right, Jesus Christ, start that sentence again. Just deliver it the way it's supposed to be. Patriots seem to have dodged a bullet at the wide receiver position. No, we don't have to edit that, do we? Because I said Jesus Christ? Nah, we can leave that. That's Kevin. I'm talking to Kevin Ducharme right now.
Kevin's running the podcast this week.
I mean, sometimes I get caught out there in the weeds.
Listen, when you say as many words as you do, you're going to run into a roadblock here and there.
You know what? I did my senior thesis on Hemingway, Farewell to Arms. He was a very simple writer, simple sentences, brief, boom. I'm going to try and adopt that for the rest. It was a good wine. I'm going to try and adopt that for the rest of the podcast. Patriots dodged a bullet. Dorsett was down. Now it appears he'll be back. Phil?
That was great. Hemingway would be proud. Yes. Listen, it was a very odd scene at practice because he went down, defensive player, as soon as Dorsett hit the turf, starts waving to the sidelines like, this guy needs help. Like the kind of reaction you would get if he broke his leg and had a bone sticking through the skin. That wasn't the case. Dorsett was helped off the field by two trainers. Again, rare. Taken into the blue tent,
sits outside the blue tent,
gets a hug from Jack Easterby, who, granted, likes to give hugs. He's the team chaplain. He's the team character coach. Very friendly with most of, if not all of the players. Gets a pat on the back from Nick Caserio. These are all unusual reactions to someone who's just had an injury, and it makes it seem maybe more severe than it actually was. But Dorsett stays on the field. He doesn't practice, but he's still there watching. Walks off the field, walks down the steps to a cart. It's a significant number of steps.
Sure.
Into the tunnel, where I assume he had some pictures taken. Comes back, Tom, then walks down the steps and into the tunnel again.
And not a few steps, folks.
Not a few steps. I would say at least 20 to 25.
Down them.
Down. So if he had any issues in terms of leg stability, you know, steps are steps. Tom Brady went down steps after he tore his ACL. So not a real great way to pull just how severe the injury was by watching him after. But we're hearing now multiple reports saying he's going to be back at practice soon, and it was just a scare. He did, as he walked off the field, Tom, I talked to him very briefly as he was walking. Didn't want to stop to talk, but asked him if he was okay, and he gave a big old thumbs up real quick.
Yeah,
so
the old Mike Utley.
Indications were he was okay, and I think he got that confirmation pretty soon after practice.
All right, well, that's good, because the Patriots can ill afford, get back to Hemingway Current, Patriots thin receiver, despite the Dorsett okayness.
They are, because I think it's gotten to the point where we all feel like they may actually need Eric Decker. Or Dez Bryant. Listen, I've been pounding the Dez Bryant drum for weeks now. I'm the one who said that they should be bringing him in. It's not.
I said it first.
You've been on that train too?
No.
Mike Giardi, who used to work with us, I think was anti-Dez Bryant. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Part of the reason he's not here anymore.
Oh, see you, Mike. Nice knowing you, buddy. Just kidding. I mean, it was still nice to know him. I still know him. Love him. Anyway, he wasn't a big fan of Dez Bryant. Do they bring him in, Tom?
No.
Why not?
Maybe they work him out.
Why haven't they done that already, if they haven't?
You know what, Phil? That's a good point.
My guess
would have known about it tonight. If Dez Bryant went through here, that has to show up on the league wire. So it's not like Belichick sits there and tells everyone. So it will be on the league wire. We would have known about it by now. So
I would assume it's a money thing on his end if he hasn't been linked to the Patriots in any sort of significant way.
I would assume it's not only a money thing on his part, but on the Patriots' part. They do their league-wide scouting. Monty Austin Ford. Does he do the pro or just?
He's college.
College.
He's college. Dave Ziegler, I believe,
Dave Ziegler does pro scouting. Look, he can't run, or he does run, but there's not much sophistication in his roots, or he does run, and there is sophistication in his roots, but he's an asshole. So any of those can probably eliminate him from consideration.
Haven't they brought in jerks before?
Yeah, but not assholes.
No assholes? Not a one. In your entire tenure covering Bill Belichick's Patriots, not a single one been brought in these parts?
At the wide receiver position?
Anywhere.
Yeah, they've had a lot of assholes. Do you know how many Chad Jackson wouldn't talk to me by the time he was done here. Brandon Lloyd wouldn't talk to me by the time he was done here. Monty Beisel definitely wouldn't talk to me. But that's just in the wide receivers.
He's a PR guy.
Brandon Lloyd hated me.
Brandon Lloyd, yeah, I saw a couple interactions between you and Brandon Lloyd in the locker room.
Back in the day.
I believe you told him something along the lines of, I'm going to be here a lot longer than you. Did you tell him that?
Might have come up.
Which is kind of a nice, I've heard that line before, but not from you. It's kind of it's an interesting, reporter jab. Because as a reporter, you could be doing this thing for 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
You're not wrong when you say there's
any number of comebacks that he could have.
You I had a couple really, run-ins with Brandon
yeah,
Browner.
Yeah, but you developed a good relationship.
Well,
it was up and down. It was tempestuous.
It was.
Doesn't sound like the only tempestuous relationship he's had.
No. Listen, they're not immune to bringing in guys who are character issues. But Tom, Dez Bryant is the kind of guy who just wants to yell at people on the sidelines and ask for the ball, which might actually change if he got to New England and he's playing with Tom Brady, maybe. But there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think he's been arrested in years.
That was just a funny sentence.
I don't think he. I'm going to look it up right now because I don't even know if he's been arrested.
Look,
period.
No, but you can't have. I've said this about these players a million times. Whether it's him or it's T.O. or it's Odell Beckham or it's.
He was arrested in 2012.
Okay, I think his pants were too low or some shit. But
regardless, this looks like a domestic violence.
Okay,
thing.
Well that's the whole horse of a different color. Yeah. There's times when I would just wish that you would just let things go.
Me?
Yeah, you just don't have to go with the extra information.
Sorry.
Because I said I think his pants were too low, and then you made me look like an asshole.
Okay, that might have been a different event that you also remembered.
All right. So here's the thing. You can't have of the 53 players on the roster, what if every guy, or at least 10 guys, decided to come back to the sidelines and say what their personal experience was in that moment during the game at high decibel level?
Well, Tom Brady does it.
How often during a season?
I mean, I don't know, a few times.
Okay, but he is the big toe of the offense.
He is.
Okay?
He kind of does what he wants.
What would happen if Shaq Mason started doing that? You guys got to block! You guys got to block somebody! Get rid of the ball, Brady! You know, guys just flipping out, throwing Gatorade, spray bottles. See Brandon Bolden flipping out on the sidelines.
See, it wouldn't happen.
Riley McCarron kicking over Gatorade.
Because they don't bring in a lot of those guys.
Right.
You're right.
Can't have it.
But you could deal with a couple.
Belichick said a long time ago, I thought it was hysterical. Someone asked him about his halftime demeanor. He goes, what am I supposed to do? Just flip over the buffet? Do I want a bunch of guys smashing their heads against lockers before we come out? I mean, I just don't know how that helps you win the game. I really don't. I mean, be prepared. Just don't show how tough you are compared to the locker, and I think you'll have a lot better chance of success. So, I mean, that's just how I look at it.
He's not wrong.
He's not. And I celebrate that.
But if you have a great player, I'm not saying Des Bryant's still great. He caught almost 900 yards worth of footballs last year, I believe. I think he could be relatively useful. Eric Decker can't run either. We're talking about people separating and being able to run 4.4s down the field. Newsflash, you've got like one of those guys, and he's got a hamstring issue, and his name's Kenny Britt. And he hasn't practiced all summer. So, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson's actually looked nice. That's another guy who's not a big-time route runner. I think they could use some help at that position. Eric Decker, you've seen him out there at practice. What do you think of Eric Decker?
He's got a great body in terms of understanding how to use it and create leverage space. I think he understands how to get into a corner, break it off. He's probably going to be smart with Brady in terms of understanding these are the things we're looking at together. So I think those are his advantages, a bigger body. He had that difficult practice earlier this week with some drops, but I'm going to say that's an aberration. But I think he knows how to use his body. So that's big. Gronkowski is big. You still have James White, who's a terrific receiver, Rex Burkhead, who has been down this week. He'll be back. So they're not bereft of targets. But you know, and it's not a wide receiver heavy offense, but you do have to look at the guy they traded away, Brandon Cooks. And yes, they get something back for him that they end up using in the draft. So that's helpful. But you also had over 1,000 yards receiving,
right?
70 odd balls thrown to him. And I know he was a one trick pony, but now you have a no trick pony over there. There's nobody who does what he did.
Really?
And Julian's down. So it's hard, and you know, we can say and celebrate, wow, look at the return. They got this and that out of that. But then on the other, we speak out of the other sides of our mouths if we say it's not a big deal that there's no return gotten, for instance, on Jimmy Garoppolo. Or, you know, it's not a big deal that, you know, other deals have been made where small returns were yielded and it didn't affect them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like Tim Wright, for instance, for Logan Mankins. Or Jacoby, what'd they get back for Jacoby Brissett? Philip Dorsett.
They got Philip Dorsett.
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that Jacoby Brissett, you know, they just left him at the end of the driveway.
Yep.
Free to a good home.
Jacoby Brissett, who will not be traded now by the Colts moving forward, according to their owner.
For a first rounder.
He's that good. Not even for a first rounder. Before we get out of here, because I believe we're probably going to have to get out of here in a minute or two, do you have some quick hitting themes, players, schemes? Anything that you want to watch in this game on Thursday night against the Eagles?
Yeah, definitely. Start faster offensively with some urgency and establish something in terms of conversions. I think that after the way they started last week with Tom Brady, assuming he's out there, I think momentum and a drive and actually converting, not saying game plan and everything else, but if it's third and six and you're queued up for a run, or whatever, don't just run the ball anyway because that's what you want to get a look at. I'm just giving it for instance. You probably wouldn't. They'd sub out. But try and game plan it a little bit in the course of the game to have success. And I wonder, I think this is going to be a horizontal and mid-range passing game early in the season as well. Do you think Gronkowski will play in this one?
Ooh, good question. Because they haven't had the joint practices. Gronkowski, we know, isn't a big preseason participator. I'm going to say no. I might try to get him a few reps in the third game if Brady's going to play a little bit. but I think he's gotten plenty of competitive work against guys on his own team, and that's somebody you really just do not want to risk. That's stating the obvious. I want to see the obvious, which is I want to see the Patriots offense have some success early, and that sounds too obvious. But there have been many times
that's what
in
I
this
said.
It
Isn't
is.
That what I said, Kevin?
Yeah. Many times in this camp, Tom, where they've been going against their own defense that I don't think anybody foresees as being world beaters this year. Solid, maybe even improved from the end of last season, but not world beaters, not the 2000 Ravens. They need to be better at punching the ball into the end zone. They had issues with that this summer, especially the last couple days as they've gone more 11-on-11. Brady punted one into the stands because he didn't like the way practice ended. I think it's because they haven't been clicking, and the defense has been ahead of the offense really all training camp. So they need more there. In terms of young guys, really quickly, Juwan Bentley, I want to see him continue his upward track. Jonathan Jones is coming back from injury. He's gotten a lot of reps lately. Tom loves him, some Jonathan Jones. Would like to see him in the slot for this Patriots defense. I'd also like to see Jason McCourty match up with some of the Eagles' better receivers so we can get a really good grasp on where he's at in terms of his level of play at the moment. He's been playing with the first-team defense the last couple of days. I think the Patriots themselves even want to see what Jason McCourty looks like with a good group around him.
Cyrus Jones has been back with the team, fielded some punts by himself on a separate field on Tuesday. Did get some work in the slot defensively. I'm curious to see whether or not he plays on Thursday, who he runs with, if he plays at all. My guess is he probably won't play, but this is a player. Remember, I've watched him. We've watched him. You've seen him, folks, when he was at Alabama. You've seen him in preseason games. You've seen him flash. If he can get his brain out of the way, if he can find a place of peace and serenity, then Cyrus Jones could be a very good football player. So we'll see if we see him on Thursday. If not, we'll probably see him next week. You'll see Gerard Mayo. You'll see Phil Perry. And you'll see myself back here on Quick Slants, the podcast, next week. Kevin Ducharme, for you, I'm going to say goodnight. And remember, thanks again to the folks at Nissan and stateandliberty.com. Remember, stateandliberty.com. Use that code QUICK, Q-U-I-C-K. Get 15% off your first order. Goodbye, Phil.